Thank you so much for tuning into a service with Hope Family George. We hope it inspires you and helps you with your journey with God.
Praise God. That's so encouraging, hey. I love that we're a church that builds the next generation and sets the next generation up for success. Very, very, very amazing, actually. Well, welcome to part three of our Thanksgiving series, and we do this every single year. Why? Because we want to make sure that we develop a grateful heart, a grateful heart. We've got lots to be grateful for. 73-0 is pretty good. That was the rugby score, by the way, not a cricket score. But just extremely grateful for God and what he gets, he allows us the privilege of being a part of. And if we just look back on the year, everything that he's done for us and everything that he's doing in and through us. And so just over the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at this. And one of the statements we made in week one, we said that a gratitude begins when entitlement ends. Gratitude begins when entitlement ends. And when last week we said that gratitude heals, but entitlement steals. Gratitude heals, but entitlement steals. And so what we're going to be doing at the end of the service, we're going to be taking up a Thanksgiving offering just to make sure that our hearts are grateful. And this Thanksgiving offering is going to be going towards actually expanding our building, making it bigger. At the moment, we can seat roughly 640 people comfortably, but we want to increase that to just over 1,000. So we've just got some images that are going to come up on the screen, just what it's going to look like. At the moment, our building does not look like that. But by God's grace, it's going to look even better than that when we're finished. And so can't wait for that. That's the side view from the road. It's going to be really beautiful. And then obviously we're removing the tent, putting a big cover over there. An amazing, amazing place for us just to have fellowship. Really beautiful. Look at that beautiful entrance, hey? It's going to be incredible. So excited about that. Just so much welcoming people coming home and making sure that people can come into an environment that is inspiring and actually opens up their heart to God, to all that God wants them to do. And just coffee shop area, beautiful inside, as well as I think we've got some pictures of the new auditorium. So that's what it's going to look like from the back. We're flipping it around. The stage is going to be there. We actually move this wall out a little bit and then turn it around and the ray sees you sitting going up like that. So very excited, eh? And so one of the reasons why we do this is we build this because actually a grateful heart is so important. Like we said, gratitude heals. But entitlement steals. It steals our joy, steals our peace. Seals everything that God wants to do in and through us. Entitlement destroys relationships. But when we have a grateful heart, it actually heals. It heals everything. And we want to make sure that we have a grateful heart. And it's out of that gratitude that we get to participate in extending God's kingdom, in building God's kingdom. I love this verse, the theme verse of ours, and it's Psalm 116, verse 12. It says, what can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? What can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? And so our heart is the seat of our life. The Bible says it's out of the abundance of our heart that our life flows, that everything comes out of that. And if we have a healthy heart, healthy things happen in our lives. But if we have an unhealthy heart, unhealthy things happen in our lives. And when you think about that question, what can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? That's a question that doesn't come out of an entitled heart. An entitled heart, the world owes me. God, you owe me. This one owes me. But a grateful heart asks that question. This is not a question from a disappointed heart or a disillusioned heart. This is a question that comes out of a grateful heart. What can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? A worshiping heart, a heart that sees the goodness of God in everything and in every space and in every season. God, you are good to me. And it's out of that we get to come before the Lord and thank him. What can I offer him? What can I offer him? And so today, as we prepare to bring our Thanksgiving offering, we stand at a long, beautiful, biblical tradition of God's people giving not out of pressure, but out of gratitude and partnering with God and with others to build God's house. And I love the scripture. I love the Bible. And if you've heard me speak about the Bible for any amount of time, you would have heard me say this many, many times. The Bible is a collection of stories that God wants us to see ourselves in. So those stories are called narratives, and there is this overarching meta-narrative, the large story of what God is doing with humanity. But our story is part of that story. And even in the Bible, there's these stories that repeat themselves, and they're not just stories for historical record, they're actually stories that are there to teach us and to guide us into all that God's got for us. And in every single story, your story is in every single one of those stories. If we look at the Israelite nation, how they were in slavery and God called them out of slavery into a promised land, that's your story. You were struggling in a life of sin, and God rescues you and wants to bring you into the promised land. The story of Noah finding himself in a corrupt world, but yet he chose to honor God and to serve God, and how God used him to actually build an ark that would save future generations. It's your story. It's the invitation that God's got for you to participate in something so much bigger. Every single one of those stories is that. And one of the overarching themes right from the beginning, right from Genesis, right from Cain and Abel, is you see this gratitude that wells up inside of people, and out of a grateful heart they give. They give out of a grateful heart, and that giving goes to honor God, to bless God, to please God, but also it goes to advance God's work on earth. And it's how God chooses to work. It's how God is doing something incredible. And when I think about that, I often think about how the church and Christianity and the story of God is always only one generation away from extinction. Like, but there's this long chain. We trace all the way back to the cross, where people have faithfully, every generation has been faithful. Every generation has been faithful to build and to set up the next generation for success. So gratitude always moves towards worship. Gratitude always moves towards worship. A grateful heart moves towards giving. I love the word love, because the word love is a verb, and a verb is a werkwoord. And Afrikaans is just a better way of just saying things, say werkwoord. It's just verb, werkwoord. It's way more descriptive. But worship is also a werkwoord. It's also a doing word. It's something that we do. It's something that we do in response to a grateful heart. And so that's what worship is. It's a response to a grateful heart. God, you've done so much for me. My response is worship. And it pleases God. In Psalm 50, verse 23, it says, "Those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me." Those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me. In other words, thank offerings are a sacrifice. And so even as we're going to be taking up a Thanksgiving offering later on, it's a sacrifice. But it's out of a grateful heart. And so for Marinette tonight as well, we've just been praying and thinking about, God, what do you want us to give? How can we bring something to you? And so we prayed about it independently. We prayed about it together. And the amount that we feel God's told us to give is like, it's a sacrifice. But you've done so much for me. I can't outgive God. God, I want to invest in the future. I want to invest in what you're doing. What a privilege it is, hey. An offering is gratitude made visible. It's gratitude made visible. And so God's people have always brought Thanksgiving offerings. They've always brought it right from the very beginning. And so all these stories, and we're just going to touch on a few of them. One of them is, we mentioned it already, is Noah, and how out of a grateful heart, he chose to honor the Lord. And he chose to sacrifice and build an ark. And in theology, we call that a type and shadow. And so the ark is a picture of the church, or what the church is supposed to be, and how people come into the church, and how God uses the church to save people and prepare people into this new world that God's got for us. We pick up the story in the book of Exodus, where the Israelites had come out of slavery and they're going into the promised land, and God comes to them and says, actually, I want you to build a tabernacle. Tabernacle is like a big word, but really it's a place of meeting, a place where people could come and learn about God, a place where people could come and bring their offerings to the Lord, a place where people could come in and present their prayers to God. This tabernacle, a place of meeting, And God gives Moses instructions. He says, I want you to tell the people to take up a special offering over and above your tithes. And that's what this offering is. It's over and above our normal giving. I want you to take up a special offering to build this place for me. And we pick up the story in Exodus chapter 35, verse 4. And it says, Moses said to the whole community of Israel, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take a sacred offering for the Lord. Let those with generous hearts present the following gifts to the Lord. Generous hearts, those with generous hearts, grateful hearts, and it's sacred, sacred. We live in a world where we want to treat everything as normal, and we've lost the understanding of some things are sacred. Like some things are sacred. God's name is sacred. Marriage is sacred. There's some things that are sacred, they're holy for the Lord. And this says that our offerings are sacred. They're special. They're not ordinary. They're not ordinary. I think about that passage in the book of Matthew where Jesus is sitting in the temple and he's watching what people bring. So interesting. He's sitting there and he's watching. And he's sitting, he's watching what people are coming and dropping in. And he watches this one old lady. She's poor. She's a widow. And she comes and she puts a small amount into the offering. And Jesus actually calls his disciples and says, come, look. Look what that woman has given. She's actually given more than everybody else because she gave out of her poverty. And it pleases the Lord. It's sacred to the Lord. Like God takes note. Like the fact that Jesus would go and sit and watch what people were putting stuff into the earth. That's amazing, hey, when you think about that. Why? Because it's sacred to God. And so this is what the Israelites did in jumping down to verse 21 in Exodus 35. It says, all those whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. Beautiful. God's people giving willingly and joyfully build the tabernacle. And it's later on, it goes into, after the tabernacle, they eventually built the temple. And once again, people came and brought their offerings to the Lord. And in 1 Chronicles 29, King David asks this question. He says, but who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. It's so true, hey. Like, God, who are we that we would be allowed? Like why would you allow us the privilege of being able to work with you to build a place where people can meet with you? What a privilege. Who are we? We're so blessed. We are so blessed. What a privilege. It's gratitude. It's worship. It's out of a healthy heart. Unfortunately, the Israelites, they rebelled and the temple ended up being destroyed. And then the Israelites repented. And we pick up the story again in the book of Ezra. And what happened was when they repented, God brought them back out of captivity, back into the promised land, and they had to rebuild the temple from scratch. And once again, God stirred people's hearts. And people gave once again out of a grateful heart. And the temple was rebuilt. And this is what it says in Ezra chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 6. It says, then God stirred the hearts of the priests and the Levites and the leaders of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin to go to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple of the Lord. And all their neighbors assisted them by giving the articles of silver and gold and the supplies for the journey and the livestock. They gave them many valuable gifts in addition to all the voluntary offerings. Voluntary offerings. Unfortunately, it took a long time for them to do it. And so the temple, they had some opposition and the rebuilding of the temple was delayed. And we pick up the story again in Haggai because they almost like they lost steam. They were giving and then they ran out of steam somewhere along the line. And so God speaks to them in the book of Haggai, Haggai chapter 1. It's actually a bit of a rebuke, one of those verses that's not the easiest verse to read, passage to read. But it talks about how, hey, and God speaks to them and says, hey, you guys are focusing on building your own house while my house is lying in ruins. Actually, I want you to build my house because it honors me. And says, then it says this, now go up into the hills and bring down the timber and rebuild my house. And then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Gratitude sees as God is the owner. He's the owner of everything, and we have a responsibility to give back. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything that we have comes from God, and it's been entrusted to us. Everything you have, I have, has been entrusted to us by God. And we are supposed to use it. It's temporary. Everything that you have, your house, your car, even a Toyota. I know we think they're indestructible, but even Toyotas are temporary. But we're supposed to use everything that we have for His glory. So gratitude doesn't ask the question, how much must I give? Gratitude asks the question, how can I worship God with what He's placed in my hands? And that should be our response. It's not how much do I have to give? It's God. Thank you so much. Thank you that I have the privilege of giving. Gratitude builds God's house. So like we said, right from the beginning of the story, it's always been like this, where people have come and given generously. Gratitude builds the house of God. What is the house of God when we talk about that? It's God's presence, the place where God's presence dwells. Even in your worship, I don't know about you, but during worship, there's one song that Caitlin was leading us in this morning. Could you feel the presence of God? God's people gather together. God's mission is advanced. And so today, as we worship even in this building, it's not about a building. It was never about a building. It's about what happens inside of the building. We're not building a place because we're worried about a building. We're building a place where people can gather, where their lives can be impacted. Churches are where lost people are saved, where marriages are healed, where sons and daughters come home, where the next generation is formed, where communities are transformed. Just here, think about what's happening just in Park Dean alone. How Shabins are closing down. Crime rate is dropping. Matric pass rates are increasing. Why? Because we planted a life-giving church in Park Dean. I think it's amazing where God's mission is launched. Buildings don't save people. Buildings don't save people. But it's what happens inside of those buildings that absolutely does. I think about that for my life. Now, I shared this with you before. I was 17 years old, lost, angry, very angry young man. And somebody shared the gospel with me. I gave my life to the Lord. And then the person that told, that shared the gospel, he says, Paul, if you're serious about serving God or finding out more, go and find a church. I never grew up in church. And so I went to a church and I met people that actually modeled to me what it means to serve God. I saw marriages, because I come from a broken home. I saw marriages where husbands and wives could actually love each other and serve God together, and it inspired me. And it's like, wow, wow, there's actually marriages at work. Wow, I'd never seen that really in my world before. It inspired me. It made me want to get married one day. I learned what it means to be a dad and a husband, what it means to be a leader. It helped me overcome all my struggles, and I had lots of them. Helped me get victory over all the sin that dominated my life. And I'm so grateful I came into a building. Now, I didn't pay for that building. Somebody else that had gone before us had paid for that building. Somebody else out of their grateful heart had built that place. And I came into it and I found God. And I'm so grateful that somebody else invested in that building so that it was a place where I could come. I didn't feel comfortable at home. My home at the time was not a nice place to be. So I literally went to church. When the doors opened, I was there. Youth, I was there. Midweek meetings, I was there. And it was a safe place for me. It was a place for me to grow and to learn about God and to become the person that God's called me to be. I'm so grateful. And we get to do that here. And I think so many of your stories are exactly the same. You might have heard about God or learned about God or grown up, or God's done something in your life through other people's sacrifices, other people's thanksgiving offering has enabled you to become the person that God's called you to be. How grateful are we? Wow. And what a privilege that God invites us to set up the next generation. Beautiful, eh? Buildings don't save people, but it's what happens inside of those buildings that absolutely do. So what are we doing? We're creating more room for God to move. We're creating more space for people to come in. Like you said, we already run 4 services on a Sunday. It's amazing. But we need more space. More room for souls, more room for families, more room for future testimonies. Like we said, it's not about a building, but it is about eternity. And so like that, David said, what can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? So our offering this morning, it's an expression of worship, it's a declaration of faith. It's a seed. It's a seed. We're sowing a seed into the future. And it's a partnership with God for his mission. We're not giving to a building, but we are giving so others may live. That's why we're giving. And that verse, Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14, but who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. And everything that you've given that comes from your hand. Everything you've given us comes from your hand. So we're going to be taking up our Thanksgiving offering now. And last few weeks we've been handing out these envelopes. We've got these two big containers in the front. And we're going to go into a song. Maybe if you didn't pick up an envelope, you don't have one yet, there are some envelopes at the back. But this is, like I said, it's over and above our tithes. It's out of a grateful heart that we have the opportunity to invest into the future, to build God's kingdom. It's a grateful heart that advances the kingdom of God. And we get to participate in that. And so if you've come prepared, we're going to be going into that. Or maybe you came here and you're saying, well, Paul, I had a question off the first service saying, Paul, can I give online? Absolutely. Can I give later? Yes, absolutely you can. There's a pledge. You can actually pledge and say, hey, I'm trusting God to be able to give this month, over this amount of money over the next month or two. Just write it down and say, God, this is what I want to give to you. God, I want to trust. It's sowing a seed of faith. God, I'm trusting to be able to give this to you to advance your kingdom, to participate out of a grateful heart. What a privilege that we get to do this. Hey, excited about the future? Yes? We're excited. Think about the building that we're going to be building. What an inspiration. Inspiration to make a statement to our community. Welcome home. A place of excellence, a place where people can come in and learn about God, where their lives also can be impacted. So I'm going to ask you, would you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray, and then Kate is going to come and lead a song, lead us in worship, or lead a song of praise. And then afterwards, Marinette and I are going to come up and pray for the offering. But this is an opportunity for you to come forward and put your envelopes in here. But let's just pray. Lord God, once again, we want to thank you so much for the privilege, Lord, of working with you, of building your kingdom. And we pray that you'll continue to develop inside of us a grateful heart, Lord Jesus. A heart that continues to ask the question, what can I offer the Lord for all you have done for me? And Lord, we pray somehow by your grace that you'd use us to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Send through your prayer requests, praise reports, or any questions you might have to 062-214-2814. That's 062-214-2814.